There were two parades that day. From the west, Pilate comes. The steady click of the animal's hooves on stone. The crowd gathers. They look fearfully. They're not sure what to do. It's him. Flowers are thrown down. Eyes are forced up. There he is, astride his stallion. Yes, from the west, Pontius Pilate, fifth governor, procurator of the royal province of Judea, has arrived. Ensigns flap, helmets glisten, weapons clank, silver eagles dazzle, soldiers march. In they come from the west. It is the Passover, and Jerusalem is packed. Pilate and his garrison will crush any dissent, any nonsense. From the east, Jesus rides. The steady click of an animal's hooves on stone. People in front, people following. The crowd gathers, it's him. Branches are waved, eyes look up. There he is astride his mount. The Son of David has come. From the east, Jesus of Nazareth comes, unarmed, unshielded. A donkey clops, voices cry, dust flies, coats and branches fall. Two parades, two contrasting compass points, two utterly different worldviews that cannot coexist. Choices must be made. Palm or Passion Sunday today begins Holy Week, when churches worldwide recall Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, his final actions on earth, his arrest, his trial, torment, crucifixion, and burial. It's a week like no other in the Christian calendar. It's Holy Week. It's holy because it's sacred. It's set apart from our natural routines, even in a church. Things will look different, sound different, feel different, and perhaps we are different. It's a week where our liturgies are unsparing and where we're drawn into the gravitational pull of the greatest of paradoxes. The death of Jesus, which offers the world fullness of life. When we walked into the church today, we reenacted Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Jesus' entry from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem is deliberate and decisive. It's not an act of self-deprecation, as some suggest. Most of his ministry, Jesus moves on foot. So his choice of a donkey signifies something significant. His entry into Jerusalem is signified that he is its rightful king, declaring that in him are the truths pointed to by prophets such as Ezekiel and Zechariah, that the God of Israel will come from the east, that the Lord's feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, that the King of Peace, who will banish weapons of war, will ride in on a donkey. With all of this staring the religious elite and Roman authorities in the face, Jesus' entry is provocative in the extreme. And they're not going to tolerate it. They're not going to tolerate his disciples and pilgrims and a crowd that's gathering, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." No, they're not going to tolerate that. They're not going to tolerate that this very psalm, Psalm 118, a psalm sung by pilgrims over the centuries as they moved to Jerusalem, celebrating God's victory for God's people, they're not going to tolerate that. Or the psalm, this one that includes the words, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." The crowd gathering, not even the disciples, grasp that Jesus will not be the all-conquering offspring of David that they imagine. But their cries mark him out nevertheless. And the religious elite and the Roman power brokers, they're not going to tolerate it. From the two different entries into Jerusalem, east and west, to the moment the Lord dies, the contrast of two opposing forces is unmistakable. The force of state-sanctioned might and oppression and cruelty, and the force of humility and non-violence. The force of inhumanity and the force of grace and forgiveness. The force of sin and the force of love. Our Metropolitan Archbishop Philip Freer, spoke recently, and in recent days, in this particular time as we head into Palm Sunday, he spoke about what's happening in Mozambique. And we're an Anglican diocese in part of Mozambique, and its people and the region is experiencing and witnessing a catastrophe. I'd like to read you his words. "The needs of this place are so heavy. So many are living in such destitute conditions. 500,000 people are being displaced because of the approach of the terrorists, the insurgents, who want to clear the land of any population, kill those who put up any resistance or are left behind. The unspeakable cruelty and death to those who are there is something that is hard to imagine. It is hard to imagine why any other humans would want to carry out such unspeakable cruelty." You'd think these words were about first century Roman occupation of Palestine, not the 21st century. But so it is. It is state-sanctioned might and oppression and cruelty writ large. It is sin. And God knows their misery, for God experienced this misery. God does not speak from a distance, nor hide fears, nor hesitancies. The Mozambican citizens are, like Jesus, locked into the workings of a meaningless, nonsensical system of power devoted to destruction. Archbishop Freer encourages all Anglicans to give generously to the Easter appeal of Anglican Overseas Aid, working to alleviate at least some of the suffering of the citizens in Mozambique. This, and of course many other endeavours, allow us to be the force of love. This afternoon, more closely still, the annual Palm Sunday Rally for Refugees will take place in the city, just outside the State Library. I'll be going, along with many hundreds of other people. The plight of refugees, here and overseas, but we think about those particularly here, the plight of the refugees is appalling. There are Anglican parishioners here in the Diocese of Melbourne who are refugees, who are so frightened of the police state that they've experienced throughout their lives that they cannot volunteer in their own church, because at the moment, as some of you know, we're going through a process of safe ministry where you need to apply for a working with children check and a police check. These people, faithful parishioners, faithful Anglicans, faithful Christians, cannot face the horror of being known by the police. The rally today will seek permanent visas for refugees, income support, release from detention, and no more offshore detention. In short, for refugees to to be treated as human beings. In a way, this too, this rally, is a force of love. Jesus knew that being a voice for justice would lead to confrontation. He knew that proclaiming the kingdom of God on earth right now would draw contempt. And he knew for sure that the truth of his identity, that he was the beloved Son of God with whom God is well pleased, would draw all that is wrong with the world on him. And as Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. The Roman machine of power, violence and death, already well oiled, changes gear. The authorities will brook no opposition to their supremacy. Jesus is a body to be destroyed, a spirit to be broken, a voice to be silenced. And in his final days, Jesus knows that he will be increasingly alone. The crowds will abandon him, his friends will desert him, the council will condemn him. And on the cross, he feels that even God is absent. This is the Son of God who submits himself to this. As Oscar Romero, the Archbishop of El Salvador, says, in Christ's death is the violence of love. Christ's death is mourned by a few of his friends and his mother. They mourn not the Son of God or Saviour of the world, but the infant who was breastfed, the child who ran around the carpentry shop, the friend who laughed and drank with ne'er-do-wells, the teacher who raised his eyebrows when his disciples got things wrong again, the healer who gazed with love at the unlovable, and the storyteller who held vast crowds in thrall as he spoke about the kingdom of God, the one who wept for individuals and for the world. Only later will they know him as the one of whom the prophet spoke, the one in whom the shalom of well-being, peace, salvation, righteousness, blessing, truth, and wholeness is perfectly found. That is his triumph. The one true God who works outwards from the heart of the human Jesus. Palm Sunday and Holy Week draw us into the epicentre of Christ's final week on earth. Each one of us is invited to reflect on Jesus. Whether for Christ's sake we are people of justice and peace. Whether we say yes to that which is noble and life-affirming. Whether we joyfully follow in Christ's footsteps for the sake of others. Because we always get to choose which parade we'll attend. On Palm Sunday, in Holy Week, we walk humbly and vulnerably with Jesus to the cross. For Christians, what a privilege it is to accompany Jesus, who declares with a donkey and a parade and a humble submission to death exactly who he is. I am God. I am love for the world. I am.